In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I always encourage people because it helped me so much in my life, and it's always the right goals. And I always have my goals next to my bed on a piece of paper or a calendar, and I glance at them every single day before I fall asleep, and I glance at them every single morning when I wake up. And I just program my mind to what it is that I really want in life. And through repetition and for the mind to see it every single day, you're actually giving it directives. You're giving them the goals to strive for, to work for, and your subconscious mind sees that, and they start to operate and search for those events or people or phone calls or emails or circumstances, if you want to call it that, to make it happen. So it's just a programming of the subconscious mind, and that actually have changed my whole life with this knowledge. Of course, it took a long time to master it, but I'm still working on it, and I'm learning about it every single day. But I just love it because it's very, very powerful. Mm-hmm. And after that, when I glance at my goals, I wake up in the mornings and I start to go around and be grateful for everything I already have. So I spend an hour around 20 minutes going around and just thanking the world and thanking the universe for all the things that I already have. It can be small things as well, like having a roof over your head or having clothes to warm you up, and having meals a day, and having fantastic relationships and friends, and be able to travel whenever I want. So all these things, I just repeat them forever. I'm grateful for it. That puts you in a beautiful state of mind, and you feel so relieved and happy if you do that kind of repetition every single morning.
How you day? So excited to share today's episode with you. I got to talk to a billionaire, Andres Pirot. Andres Pirot is a very, very interesting guy. Owns well over 20 businesses. But his start is pretty fascinating. You know, he went from an area of lack to an area of abundance. And I love how he broke down the core concepts of building businesses, the core concepts of owning your identity, and the core concepts of gaining mentorship. So I hope as you're listening to this, you are getting your pen ready. You're getting your paper ready. You're pulling out your Evernote. And you're saying to yourself, I'm about to journal the crap out of this episode. Okay, all right, I'm getting ahead of myself. But truly take notes. Listen to what he is saying. Reverse engineer that for yourself and apply that to your life. It applies to everyone. Enjoy the episode. Love you much. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And today's guest is Andres Pira. Now, Andres became a billionaire at the age of 35. 35! And now he's the founder of over 20 companies, including law offices, gyms, coffee shops, and he's got a pretty, pretty amazing portfolio in the property game. The crazy thing is that he didn't come from money. In fact, he was homeless at the age of 20. And in his upcoming book, Homeless to Billionaire, he talks about his millionaire morning routine, hiring the right people you can trust, and the no negative people rule. We're going to dissect all this. We're going to discuss his background, and we're going to dive into the world of Andres Pira. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Teo. Thank you for having me here.
The pleasure is mine. And the first question that I have just starts with, where are you from? Where did all this, because you said you were homeless at the age of 20, and now you run over 20 businesses. So tell me where you're originally from, where your original home is, and how you got into that place where you became homeless, and then how you then became a billionaire.
Sure. Well, I'm originally from Sweden. Well, I'm half Swedish, half Colombian. I was born in Colombia on a tiny little island called San Andres, and that's why they named me to Andres. And I moved to Sweden when I was 3 years old and had a pretty rough youth, and Sweden was never a country for me, so I moved from Sweden when I was just turning 20. And since then, I've been living in Thailand for 16 years and becoming, 17 years now. I'm 37. So, that's where I am today. And Thailand, I would say, was the country that helped me to succeed. And I still love it every single day. It's a beautiful part of the world. And if people haven't been there, I would recommend, of course, them to be there, because I believe it's one of the most beautiful places in the world.
Wow. No, that's incredible, because, I've only visited Bangkok, but I haven't visited the whole of Thailand. But I'm always curious about stories like that, because you said, half Colombian, half Swedish. And then you decided, that Thailand was going to be the home from there. Can you talk to me about how you learned about yourself with every move you made? Was there an identity crisis? How did you discover who you were? And then we'll dive into that age 20 for you.
Absolutely. Well, before I had my companies, before I was successful, I would say, I had a mindset that life just happens to you. You're not in control of what's coming to you, and you live day by day, like in default. And I was a firm believer that you don't have control of it. And today I believe in something completely different. And I always had that mindset. I dropped out of school when I was 14. I had a bit of problem with the law, and made me not be able to get a decent job. I didn't have the education. I was grown up in the suburbs, and it was a hard time living with all this segregation, and they're always putting us in the same place. So I became depressed heavily, and I knew that I needed to do something else. I needed to cut all my ties with Sweden, with my friends, with the gang environment, and start a new life completely. So that was one of the biggest decisions I've ever done in my life, is to leave friends and family, home to a foreign country all across the world, and start my own life there. And it didn't really go as I expected when I did that. So that's how I ended up in Thailand. It was when my grandfather died and I got to inherit $2,000. And that was my ticket out. I knew that I had to take that big leap of faith to just disappear. And I took that money, and that was enough for a one-way ticket to Thailand, to Bangkok, actually. And that was more of a coincidence that I ended up there.
Well, so then why did you choose Thailand of all the places in the world? What made you choose Thailand to leave from Sweden? Because you knew you had to leave, but how did you know where you had to go to?
Well, I knew I had this money from the inheritance from my grandfather, and I went to a travel agent, and I was talking to them, and I remember this girl showing me the catalogs, the magazines, and I told her I want to go to a tropical paradise where they have white sandy beaches, blue oceans, coconut trees. And she started to show me pictures of Thailand, and she told me that the money I had after I paid a few debts back home, that that was the place that I should go and visit, and that was Thailand. I didn't know anything about the country. I didn't know the culture or the language, or I didn't have any friends there, but it looked so beautiful on these pictures. So she sold me into that to that country. So I bought the ticket the very same day, and that was 4 days later that I had to leave. So
this is so fascinating to me, because if you don't know the language, right? Yeah. And you land into the country. I have gotten lost in Bangkok before, and it is not fun. It's always one of those things where I realize that it's good to have a translator sometimes. So when you landed, how did you figure out just how to buy an apartment, how to build a business, establish your home base there?
That come, of course, much later. But when I landed, I actually landed in Bangkok because I didn't know anything about the country. And when I stepped out of the airport, I thought I was going to see blue oceans, white sandy beaches, and coconut trees. So I thought I ended up in the completely wrong country. I saw skyscrapers and traffic and everywhere. And I became even more shocked because I was down to my last $100.
Yeah.
And Yeah, so I have to actually, after asking people around and in this broken English and trying to understand what they were saying, and finally understood that I need to go south, very south, to be able to have my blue oceans. And that was, they recommended Phuket. That's south of Thailand, the biggest island of Thailand. And I realized that it was a 1 hour flight, but the flight ticket was more than what I had in my pocket. So after asking more people, they told me that the only way to go there is to buy a bus ticket for $50. So that was about what I had left. I had 100, so I had to spend half of it on a bus ticket that was 18 hour. There was an 18 hour ride. But yeah, that's how I ended up in Phuket. And I knew that I needed to find a job very quick, because I was down to my last penny. So I started to ask every hotel around and restaurants and bars and offices, whatever I could get hold of. And I actually landed a job the second day, giving out brochures for a resort and inviting people in for the accommodations and holiday packages. So that's how I ended up with my first job there.
Wow. There it is. That is so incredible. So that's where you are at around age 20. And now you have over 20 companies, including law offices, gyms, coffee shops, and property portfolio. So
yes,
talk to me about your routine then, because you were in a gang environment. You say you got in trouble with the law. You knew you had to leave the environment, which is, I always encourage people. One of the first things I always tell people, if you want to improve your life, assess your environment and see if you can go to a better environment. So you did that. You found a place that cultivated, that made your mindsets, I guess, more alive. Now, how did you develop routines? How did you start learning about entrepreneurship? And then what did you learn about entrepreneurship that turned you into a billionaire?
Well, it's with trial and error. And I failed massively many, many times. And I've been successful and I've been bankrupt after that, after my first companies. And I had to start everything again. But persistence, determination, and a mindset of never giving up have put me where I am today. And I it took a long time before I actually started to see differences, but I've been studying mindset, self-development, routines, affirmations, incantations, meditation, goal setting. All these kind of things is what I do on a daily basis, and that's helped me a lot to establish the success I have for the moment, and also to teach my employees that I have not to follow the same routines, and they're getting the same results. But my second job there, I landed, was for a real estate agency, and that was the same kind of thing. I was giving a brochure outside their office and trying to get people inside the doors to get a real estate presentation. And I was standing in the sun almost 8 hours a day giving these brochures out to people and trying to get them in. So after 8 months of that, I actually managed to sell a property to a client because all the sales agents were busy, and the first customer I actually had to show an apartment to bought. So I got promoted to a sales agent in that organization, and after that I was starting to look up to the sales manager, and it took 1.5 years and I got promoted to sales manager, and after that sales director for the whole organization, and another 1.5 years later I started my own company. So that's how I grew in that industry from the bottom up.
This is blowing my mind. Okay. So eight hours a day, you give out brochures, you start to really get results, and then you get promoted. And as you get promoted, you start to see the inside and, inside and outs of what makes, I guess, the real estate world.
Right.
Then you realize some of your routines needed to change. And then you start, and even now, as you teach people and you hire people, you talk about your millionaire morning routine. So break it down for the audience. What exactly is a millionaire morning routine? I know you touched on it with the mindset and meditation, but what else is there? Well,
I always encourage people because it helped me so much in my life, and it's always the right goals. And I always have my goals next to my bed on a piece of paper or a calendar, and I glance at them every single day before I fall asleep, and I glance at them every single morning when I wake up. And I just program my mind to what it is that I really want in life. And through repetition and for the mind to see it every single day, you're actually giving it directives. You're giving them the goals to strive for, to work for, and your subconscious mind sees that. And they start to operate and search for those events or people or phone calls or emails or circumstances, if you want to call it that, to make it happen. So it's just a programming of the subconscious mind, and that actually have changed my whole life with this knowledge. Of course, it took a long time to master it, but I'm still working on it, and I'm learning about it every single day. But I just love it because it's very, very powerful. Mm-hmm. And after that, when I glance at my goals, I wake up in the mornings and I start to go around and be grateful for everything I already have. So I spend an hour, around 20 minutes going around and just thanking the world and thanking the universe for all the things that I already have. Can be small things as well, like having a roof over your head or having clothes to warm you up and having meals a day and having fantastic relationships and friends and be able to travel whenever I want. So all these things, I just repeat them for everyone. I'm grateful for it. That puts you in a beautiful state of mind, and you feel so relieved and happy if you do that kind of repetition every single morning. And even if you don't have much, you can still be grateful for something. There is always something to be grateful for, even if you don't have much in life. And that's what I mean, to focus on the things that you already have instead of feeling bad for the things that you don't have. And that puts the whole day into perspective, and the whole day you actually feel good about it. And after that, I do meditation in my gardens. I don't do this every day so people know, because I wouldn't say I do that every single day. I have done, and sometimes it takes a week or two or a few days before I do it again. But it's just to remind yourself that it's important and go back to the routines, because a routine to do it every day is hard. But remind yourself and continue doing it. That's what I want to say to the audience as well.
Okay. No, I love that. So look at your goals in the morning and before you go to bed. Practice repetition of gratitude. You know, even the smallest of things. Find things that you are grateful for and focus on the things you have instead of things you don't have. And, you know, even if you can't meditate regularly, meditate at least, on a weekly basis or so, just to remind yourself to be present and just, you know, just remind yourself of the bigger picture, essentially.
Absolutely. And meditation it's not what people think is meditation. I mean, what I call meditation is when I just calm my mind before I go to work and I visualize the things that I do want and I feel great for already having it. So when I visualize, it feels like I already achieved those goals that I want to have. Mm-hmm. And that's anything with mind and visualization, you actually create reality with it if you do it in the right sequence and the right feelings and emotions you have. So I've been using that for years, and everything I visualize and put my mind to, it becomes a reality sooner or later.
That's brilliant. Now, let's talk about the businesses. So when you started, I think it sounds like you started with real estate, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, the first job was for a hotel, giving out brochures and inviting people to get a holiday package presentation. And the second job was the same thing, but there was a real estate agency instead. So yeah, the second job was in the bottom of a real estate agency. So that's how I started with it.
Now, talk to me about the moment you transitioned from employee to employer, like when you became an entrepreneur and your first few businesses. Because if you run over 20 businesses, 20 companies now, obviously those first few companies must have really made an impression for you to want to continue running other companies. So
of course, and yeah. I got a passion and a hobby to start up new companies, because when you start up one or two or three, then you understand that it actually doesn't matter what kind of industry you're in. It's the same setup. You need to start with marketing. After marketing, you start to get clients. And so you need an admin, an administrator to divide the clients. And after that, you need a sales department to be able to take those inquiries and convert it into sales. And when they convert into sales, you need an accounting to make sure that the incomes and the receipts and the invoices are sent correctly. And when you do that, you actually already have a structure. And when you be building bigger companies, you need to employ more people, and then you have to establish a HR department. And after that, you also need that legal department in case of employee contracts, client contract. So it's all actually just a setup, step by step. And if you've done it a few times, it's the same structure with actually almost any industry that you want to do. So it becomes almost a habit and easier to do for each time. So that's why I love to create successful companies with the same kind of method.
I love that. What do you think are the mistakes that most entrepreneurs make?
they put the money in the wrong place at the first, and that's what made me bankrupt in the first time. When I actually finally started to get income, I started to put the money in big offices and more employees and more computers just to impress my clients.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
And what I did understand that all this money I was spending but on the wrong place. So I was spending all these things to impress clients with big offices, many computer, many staff. But then I realized, well, if I don't have clients, it doesn't matter what I have. So I put it in the wrong place. I should have started to put it in a strong marketing department, because the marketing department is what generates the leads and clients in almost any industry. So that's where you need to focus the first year of all the funds and structures to be able to have that running like a machine.
Mm, wow. That's so true. I mean, it's missed out because you obviously in a business like yours, sometimes you feel like you want to sell yourself and you want to show that, hey, this is what I do and these are the things that I can have if you work with me. And you think about that too much and you forget about what actually makes you the best salesman or the best brand. And that is what you said, the marketing, the finding the people that need what you need and making sure that there's a pipeline of those of those leads. Yeah. That's interesting. I forget that often myself. So when you said that, I was like, Andres is so right. It's so true. So keeping that pipeline going is actually what will fuel your company.
Yeah, and it's like an engine. You need to put the oil in it every time and refine it and make it better and see where it's leaking and close those gaps. It's always a constant work with the marketing department, but it's really the key essential to having a successful business, because when you have an overflow of leads and clients, then you can start to convert them into sales and into money. But if you don't have the first engine, the other engines will not work.
Well, then this then begs the question, then how do you hire the right people you can trust? Because you more than me know this. There have been many businesses that have fallen because of the wrong people being hired, or maybe people you trusted who ended up doing the wrong things with your money. How do you hire the right people?
Well, I'm still battling with that. I mean, I just fired two of my employees just 2 weeks ago.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
Oh, man. I'm always believing giving people all the trust in the beginning. I always give the trust to the people and they'll have to prove me wrong. And what I understood with all these years is that I don't really hire for resume or CVs or education anymore, because through trial and error, honestly, the best employees that I had is the people that didn't have any experience, didn't have actually any degrees or work with other similar companies. And sometimes the people that I hire that have the doctor degrees or the master degrees, and they had a great experience with other companies, then turn out to be the worst employees that I ever had. So what I do now is I hire for attitude. I see what kind of mindset and attitude they have. If they're positive to life, they're positive to growing, and they're positive to learning, they're open-minded, they go firsthand instead of paperwork and CVs and resumes. So that's the key in hiring the right people. But you never know. It's still people you really think is going to be the key assets. They become the worst. And some people you didn't believe in, they boom out and become one of the best productive people. So it's all a learning curve, but you never really know. Always going to be like that. You just need to go for it. And sometimes you don't have that exact position. You know you need a person for that position, you just have to take the first one. And then when you do that, you need to look for the other one, but at least you close the gap. So it's a constant work. Yeah,
that's true. Definitely a constant work that you have to always monitor. But you do have a rule though. I know that when you hire, you have a no negative people rule. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, that's one of my golden rules in the company. And that's never ever spread the gossip and negativity, because I've seen great organizations fall even in the beginning when I had my companies. I mean, I believe that great organizations, great teams, they don't fall from outside. They actually fall from within. And it's because of these things. People start to talk bad about other colleagues. They start to spread gossip and negativity. They form groups together. And I call it cancer in my book that I've been written. And why do I do that? What does a doctor do when he finds cancer? He cuts it out very, very quick, because cancer is very infectious and it spreads very quick. And when it's spread very quick to a bigger scale, then it's very hard to get rid of it. So for me, as soon as I see that, as soon as it starts to grow, I'll cut it out very quick, inform an employee or inform two people or whatever, because it's really one of the things that makes you fall.
Right. That's true. That's true. And I've seen it even with some directors and some people that actually run shows here in America. There's a lady called Shonda Rhimes. So she has a bunch of shows and she's very successful, but she says she doesn't hire assholes.
that's true.
That's what she says. She has a no asshole rule. So it's interesting that when you hear that, because the interesting thing about negativity is that it can spread like a virus really quickly, and it feeds, you know, into our vices as humans, you know, leads to all these stories and all that. And that it actually takes away from your productivity.
Mm. I mean, yeah, I absolutely agree. It's with some, like an example in my sales department. Not long ago, one of my best salespeople there, he was always coming to work. I don't know, he had family problems, but he always came to work and said, there's not clients enough. And we're coming into a bad season, and we're only getting the bad clients. They're not finding us anymore. So that was what he was repeating every single day. And within a few weeks, almost the whole sales department was saying the same thing. But as soon as he got fired and I told the people why, the results went up again, and suddenly we didn't have any of that bad thing. So it's just a proven method that it works. So we need to get rid of these people, unfortunately, if you can't help them.
Yeah. Yeah. Negativity can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. So, wow. Okay. This is so good. This is so good. So, okay. Now we've talked about how you transitioned, and you talked about the foundations of business and a rule you have for your companies. What about being competitive proof with the right company culture?
Well, I mean, we always have competition. It doesn't matter what industry you are. There's always a rival. There's always another company that you're competing with that are taking some of your clients and you're taking some of them. It's good with competition because you can study their, you can study them. And I love having competition because I love to study my own competitors, because that's where you actually learn something. What are they doing? What are they doing well? What are they doing bad? How do they form their marketing, and what kind of brochures they have? What kind of payment plans they have? How is the website? How do they reach out to clients? So I always study them very, very carefully and see what they're doing great. So then I can then I can mimic that also and take the good parts. And also I taking one of the best employees from other companies, because I like to lead with inspiration. And when I have these superstars from other organizations joining me, I learn all the inside secrets of what works and doesn't work. So competitive proof is also to be able to study your competitors very closely and enjoy actually having them there. So when they're successful, I'm actually happy about it, because then it's something they're doing that I can learn about.
Interesting. I like that approach, because I very much think the same way. A lot of people I feel like are focused on, wow, that person is a competitor, that person has more than me. And I love to just study what people do well and just see what I can apply to myself. And it's an interesting way of looking at business, but it also really helps with your mindset. I think if you focus too much on what you don't have, which is what you said earlier, it ends up becoming this thing where you become very anxious and you sort of stifle your own growth.
Absolutely. I agree, because some people, they are jealous, they have envy, they have rage and hatred of their competitors because they just don't like them. And but go around every day and feeling like that, I mean, that's just going to block you. That's going to stop you from being creative. So it's better to be happy about them and learn from them, and then you can do it better. and just see exactly how they do it. And I love to study. There is always 10% in any organization, any company, that you have the superstars, the super assets, what I call them. This usually 10% of the whole organization is where this 10% is bringing almost 90% on the whole income of the companies. And I love to study these people that does it. And when I know who they are, I do my very best to recruit them and get them into my organization because they will give me the same results.
Mm. Okay. All right. Well, this is good. Well, there's an example of you getting people to do the same thing and getting the same results, a lot of people to get the same results, which was you somehow convinced all of your employees to jump out of a plane. They all did it. So tell me the story behind that. How can you tell a bunch of your employees to say, hey, we're going to jump out of a plane? You're going to do it. That's a very scary proposition.
Yeah, well, it's not all the employees. I wouldn't throw my accounting and finance people.
You won't throw the money people there. You just.
But I do that with the whole sales department because they're the driven people. They are the people who are get rejected all the time, and they have the most fear of failure or being the one who does the sale. So they battle with a lot of rejection and fear. And that's what I do. That's why I do skydive with them, because it kills their fears. And when you kill fear in people, they become much more productive. And that's, if you think about it, fear is always what stops us to actually achieving anything in life. We're always afraid of failure, or sometimes we're afraid of success itself. And most of the time we're afraid of what other people will think about us, because we're always focusing how other people see us. But, you know, it doesn't really matter, because most people are always busy with thinking about themselves, so they actually don't do it. But to kill those fear, doesn't matter if it's jumping out of an airplane or worried about others or worrying about getting sick or not have money or fail, it's all fear. It's the same feeling. It's already exists in your mind. So if you kill this kind of fear, it actually makes you much better productive human being, and you're not afraid of stepping forward and getting the things you want in life. So I've seen amazing, tremendous results with people that actually done it.
Wow. The greatest things are often on the other side of fear. And many times we have to walk through those or step through those or face those before we can actually become the highest version of ourselves.
Absolutely. Exactly. And it's the fear we need to get rid of to be able to go to next step.
Okay. Well, then obviously you put this in your book, right? Your book is called Homeless to Billionaire. What can people rather expect in your book? Why is it something that you decided to write at this point in your life?
Well, I got inspired by one of my role models to release the book, and this Joe Vitale and Jack Canfield, and the two people from The Secret, and they also wrote that Jack Canfield had written Chicken Soup for the Soul, and Joe Vitale Zero Limits. So it's role models that I've been following within this kind of self development. And I told them my story after I did a seminar with them, and they really thought that I would be able to inspire people. So my book is a little bit of what we talked today, but it's also many other principles that I learned by myself or learned from others, and I amplify them every single day in my work life and daily life. So hopefully with everything I've been going through, people can adapt to them, read them, learn about them, and they will absolutely get the same results. I actually encourage people to try to prove me wrong on them, because I know they will get the same results as I did.
No, I love that guarantee. That's it's so confident that it now becomes a guarantee. So now that you're given that there, you're basically saying that a lot of people don't get what they want in today's world because they don't do the work. It sounds like that's what you're saying.
Exactly, because knowledge is not what's going to take you somewhere. It's what you do with the knowledge and take action into it that actually is going to move you from one place to another.
Okay. Question for you. There's a saying going on around right now in the world. When people say you cross a millionaire, you cross a billionaire, they say money doesn't essentially make you who you are. Money's just amplifying the person you've already been. Do you feel like money changes people?
It changes people all the time. Some people.
So you feel like it. Okay.
Of course I do, because I see horrible stories. I see good stories. So it's up to the individual, but of course it changes people. Some people it doesn't change, but money has a very, very strong influence on any emotion, any thought, any mind. So of course it's what's runs the world, but you can either use money for good or you can use money for bad. It's up to the individual to decide how we want to use it and how we want to feel about it. We still have a choice.
Yeah, no, I agree. And as you look at the world today, when you've been in a position now where you can provide a lot of opportunities for people, what do you feel like the world needs more of? You know, we have countless problems and countless people like yourself who are building solution makers. But you looking at the world based on your personal experience and what you see happening in politics and economics and the environment, what do you feel like we need more of in the world today?
I really believe that we should get rid of the greed, because people think there is not enough to go around. And I know that it's abundance of everything to go around, but it's all this, and people that just keeping everything for themselves because they're afraid of losing it. But I know that we will rise when we lift others. So the more we help others, the more we make the world a better place, the more we help people be successful and make them understand how powerful we are as human beings. And if we know how to use our mind correct and help people to establish that and teach them, we're going to live in such much better place than we are today. We're here to help each other and rise ourselves as humankind and take the human evolution to another step. And I believe that we need a lot of these people around to do it. There is a lot of people like us around, and I want them to get together, because, I mean, we have the power to change others and help others. That's what we're here to do. So I really believe in this philosophy.
Yeah, no, this is good. This is good. I mean, I love how honest you are and how raw you've been with this podcast. One question I have before I go into the final question is, who have been your favorite mentors? You know, who would you say have really shaped the way you see the world and have played a big role in your growth?
Yeah, I know them by hand. So that would be Jack Canfield, Joe Vitale, Napoleon Hill, Brian Tracy, and Charles Hanel. That's the people that I studied the most and took every single word that they have been telling me and worked on it and mastered it and trained it to others. So I will give all my credit to this. And of course, my mother, because she taught me how to be kind to people. So I would say this is the people that have influenced me the most.
I ask that question because many times people feel like if you can't physically talk to a mentor, that you can't be mentored from books or all that. But you're saying that you did that. You saw.
Yeah. You don't need to meet them physically. I mean, they leave clues everywhere behind. They're online. They made books. They have articles. They have YouTube channels. They have all these things. So you don't need to stand in front of them, because they're still going to tell you the same thing. But you need to study them, and it's the same. They will tell you the exercises and teachings and what to do and how you can wake up in the mornings and how you end up your evenings and who people you should talk to. So do these things. That's the key to transformation. It's not just listening to something and then think that you will change. No, it's action that's going to take you from A to Z. So that's the whole thing to it.
Yeah, that is the whole thing to it. Well, you've heard Andres, Peter. This has been a masterclass essentially on mindset, on building businesses, hiring the right people, but also making sure that you face your fears. So I really, really want to thank you for coming on the show. Where can people find your book?
Yeah, they can order it on Amazon. We have a Kindle version and the hard paperback version, so they can order it now. And if they search for Homeless to Billionaire, and if they do want to read a bit more before any purchase or order it, they can just go to the website, andrespira.com. I give out a free chapter there, and they can download also a short version of the 18 principles to read about them first if they want to do that before they order the actual copy. So feel free to reach out.
Okay. I'll make sure and put that in the show notes. My last question is my mission statement framed as a question. My mission statement, Andres, is use your difference to make a difference. So I always ask my guests this question: how do you use your difference to make a difference?
By reaching out, by doing these things and to empower others. I became successful when I started to help others to be success and get success and have success. And the more I do it, the more success I get by myself. It's not because I expect it. It's just I know, because I follow a universal law that exists all around us.
Yeah, well, there you go. Follow universal law that exists around us by giving yourself is the way you use your difference to make a difference. Well, thank you so much for coming to the show. This has been really, really fun. I love the transparency, and I am looking forward to sharing this episode.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Teo, for having me. That was a pleasure.
Pleasure is mine. Ladies and gentlemen, till next time, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.